Why Christmas is Nice. Once upon a time, in the days before anything much was organized, and when people were all pretty much alike and had not learned to be doctors, bookmakers, husbands, or milkmen, and there were never any holidays because everyone was just too busy. What were they busy doing? Well, they were busy taking stuff. They spent all their time either taking stuff, or trying to take stuff, or planning to take stuff from each other, or fixing the walls and fences and barbed wire in their section of the jungle so that no one could take stuff from them. In those days, it was considered most necessary to have a lot of stuff, and taking it gave people a stimulating feeling. When they took something especially good, for example, if it was big, the feeling started in the back of their backs and spread down across their back and made a tingle in their left foot. This feeling was the only feeling anyone ever had, except maybe being scared or being hungry. Several techniques were used. First, swiping. This was the most difficult because naturally few people were foolish enough to leave any of their stuff unguarded. The second and the most popular method was to find something smaller than you, or to find someone smaller than you, give them an unexpected bash, and then you could grab his stuff and run. Now, this method, although dangerous, had the advantage of being helpful, as the bashing and running promoted deep breathing and kept the waistline down. Now, in time, the smaller people learned to be very clever, hiding and swiping, and the larger developed a protective layer of bone across the back of their skulls. And some of the medium-sized discovered that they could tell big lies about the amount of stuff they had hidden, and this was about the same as actually having the stuff. And so a status quo came to exist. It balanced out pretty well for everyone, and that is, except for Marvin Ook. Now, Marvin Ook lived in a rather provincial section of the jungle, and his only neighbors were named Gloog, Hoke, Murdley, and Lester. Now, Gloog, Hook, Murdley, and Lester had each accumulated exactly the same amount of stuff. They were all about the same size, and they had equally excellent walls. And so it became very difficult for them to increase their stuff or their possessions. One day, Murdley would bash Gloog and take his shirt and egg beater. But the next day, Hook would bash Murdley and take his shirt and a fountain pen, and so on. They were all getting bashed a great deal, and in the long run, there was no percentage in it or no benefit. So after a while, they all concentrated mostly on taking stuff from Marvin, which wasn't easy. Marvin was the smallest, the most simple-minded, and the least devious of all the people. He didn't even have a proper wall or fence, and as a result, he had no stuff. In fact, Marvin never had anything. He didn't even have a pair of pants, which slowed him down socially. He lived on a diet of toadstools, these being the only thing he could depend on not being taken. And the only feeling he ever experienced was not getting hit on the back of the head when someone wanted to steal his stuff, which he actually considered quite enjoyable. So it wasn't long before Gloog and Hook and Murdley and Lester even gave up trying to take stuff from Marvin. It wasn't worth the trouble it took to bash him, because although he bashed easily, Marvin was concussion prone and merely fell quietly face forward and didn't yell or holler or do anything, which was fun. And so in this part of the jungle, the status quo more than suitable. Actually, the status became overquote, and Gloog and Hook and Murdley and Lester sat being their walls, and then they got restless. "It is not right to not take stuff," Murdley said. "One should get stuff. It is the way things are." He would then go out and try to sneak up on Gloog or catch Hook or swipe something from Lester, but he never would. Then he would go back home and fret some more. "I will forget how to take stuff," he would tell himself. "I will lose my technique." And one day he added, "I must keep in practice or my know-how will desert me." So he rushed out and found Marvin Ook, and in his mind he pretended that Marvin was carrying a double armful of stuff. He then gave Marvin an excellent bash and pretended to take the imaginary stuff away from him. But it didn't work. He didn't get any feeling or tingling at all. He went back home and fretted some more. It was not playing the game to pretend, he told himself, and he began to think. After a bit, he had an idea. He said, "If I'm going to practice on Marvin, I must play the game. He must have something to take, and I will go out." And then he paused and made up a word to express the odd idea that he had in his mind. "I will give," he said. "I will give Marvin something first, then I will take it." When Marvin saw him, he sighed and looked about for a soft spot to fall forward on. He was, of course, surprised, even shocked, when Murdley stopped in front of him and made no bashing gestures. "Ook," said Murdley, making a peculiar and frightening grimace, which men later called a smile. "Ook, I have some stuff here I want to give you." He pushed a spoon towards Marvin. Marvin backed away. "Murdley has sprung a gasket," he thought. "I shall be careful and go away as he may become dangerous." But Murdley anticipated Marvin's escape and seized him by the arm. "Here," he said, and placed the spoon in Marvin's hand. "I want you to have this." Then he stepped back and prepared to give Marvin a bash and take the stuff in the approved manner. But before he could move, he felt a strange new feeling. A feeling 10 more times more powerful than the feeling he had when he took stuff. It started in the back of his chest and spread, not only through his back and his left foot, but all over. He began to tingle in both feet and both hands and on the top of his head. The new feeling was so pleasant and so powerful that Murdley caught his breath and sat down on the ground. "Ha!" he said, and again made the terrible grimace in Marvin's direction. Marvin turned and raced away. Who would have suspected, said Murdley. "Giving stuff is..." And he searched for a noise he could use or another word. "Oozer?" he said. Then he said, "Meepy?" Then he said, "Miser?" And then he said, "Nicer?" "Nicer sounds exactly right. Giving stuff," Murdley said, "is nicer than taking stuff." Murdley soon found out that part of the new feeling was a desire to tell other people about it, and he did. And so another great discovery was made. The secret of the new feeling has been passed down from century to century to now. And although sometimes we don't see too much evidence of it, people seem to remember it very clearly, especially at Christmas time. And instead of taking and bashing, they give. And it feels very nice.